Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, good afternoon. This is Lock and Load. You know, one of the reasons I am so interested in what they try to do with climate change is what the end result would be with climate change. This would be one of these things where we get out here and we may not have any sort of conflict going on, where all of a sudden, once again, we land in the land of, is that actually grammatically correct? We land in the land of, we end up in the land of the have and the have-nots. Now, here's what we're being pitched. According to the clerics of the green cult, once we blow up the last coal mine and send all the diesel engines to the wreckers and stop using concrete, reinvent sailing clippers, cover the grasslands with solar clutter and the hills with wind machines, slaughter all of our cattle, global climate will become serene. Not too warm, not too cold. We'll become the planet of California. Wild weather will cease. There will be no more droughts, floods, cyclones, or snowstorms, and no more plant and animal extinctions. But the records written in the rocks tell a very different story about climate changes. Even when nature was in full control, it was not a serene place. Long before the first steam engine puffed along the first railway, Earth was periodically battered by natural disasters. Earthquakes, tidal waves, pole shifts, magnetic reversals, volcanic eruptions, wild weather, droughts. Huge areas were covered by suffocating continents of ice, desert sands, massive flows of mud and lava, beds of salt, and thick coal seams. Thousands of species disappeared, including dinosaurs, mammoths, and Australia's megafauna. And modern humans are not immune to the threat of extinction, but it will not come from today's warm, moist atmosphere or from the gas of life, carbon dioxide. It will probably come from the next glacial climate cycle of this era, where long, bitter glacial eras are separated by very short, warm periods. And these global weather cycles are triggered by changing orbits in the solar system, which, by the way, we have no control over. So man-made climate change is actually a myth. Huh? We exist in what is referred to as the Holocene era. And it's a very short, warm era. The warming oceans expel enough carbon dioxide into the atmosphere to support the abundant plant and animal life that currently surrounds us. But never has this global warming prevented the cyclic return of the ice. The Holocene warm era in which we live has already passed its peak. And long before we reach net zero emissions, the cold will be back. Now, when blizzards blow and glaciers grow and the great ice sheets will spread again, carbon dioxide will be removed from the atmosphere into the cooling oceans, and most of mankind will be threatened by frosts, droughts, crop failures, and starvation. For those of us that are lucky to be living in the equatorial regions, or clustered in shelters and hot houses around coal or nuclear power stations, those people may survive. Those still able to extract uranium, coal, oil, or gas may manage to generate enough warmth and carbon dioxide plant food to partly offset the cold sun, the permafrost, and the dry, barren atmosphere. And a few, with appropriate skills and tools, may become hunters and gatherers again. But Neanderthals did not survive the last glacial cycle either. We should celebrate, not fear, the modern warm era and give thanks for the many benefits that we get from these marvelous natural stores of hydrocarbon and natural energy or nuclear energy to warm our houses. our pump our water, recharge batteries, and feed our animals and plants. But these good times are temporary. They're not going to last forever. And when the ice returns, derelict wooden turbines and snowbound solar panels will remain as very stark tombstones in the graveyard of the failed green religion. Now, of course, this isn't going to happen overnight. But in the meantime, on our way there, as they try to pilot us, like they're trying, you know, we're cruising along in a very nice airliner. But we've got these pilots up front who want to fly us straight into a mountain. And this is where the have and the have-nots will come. As they try to make things so expensive for the average person to and listen, the World Economic Forum types, they completely intend to exempt themselves from it, as if somehow, because of their higher consciousness, they will be, they will build a few nuclear power plants with a nice geodome around them so they can run their lives from there and survive any glacial period we may come in. But that's not a free world now, is it? That's not a free world. More people die from the cold than they ever do from the heat. And everywhere I look, I mean, at every TV special I look at, and I like to watch documentaries. I like to watch a lot of documentaries. Inevitably, no matter where they are, they always turn to global climate change. And, yes, there is climate change. There's always going to be climate change. There has always been climate change. But it's almost like they're trying to drive us into this false belief, could it be, that this kind of thing is happening now because of us, which that's not possible. Not possible. And out of this, along with the economic upheaval and everything else, will come crime. And with crime will come the need to defend yourself, sort of. And we're not actually at that point now. We just have all the things that would actually cause it to really ramp up. They're not happening. What we have going on right now, the inflation and everything else, this is all designed. This was all forced upon us. We didn't have this kind of issue when we were energy independent. Energy is the key to all of this, and they know it, so they've driven it up, of course. And you may have seen the gas prices trickling back up again, and to make sure we don't get too comfortable with them being down in the $2 and something range, they've got to come up to the $3 and something range. As soon as the next president gets in there and says, I'm going to pass this law that can never be undone to where I'm going to dissolve the EPA, I'm dissolving the ATF, I'm doing all of these things because I'm tired of this nonsense because I live here too. That'll be one less thing to worry about. But that's not the way they want us to go. They want us to give up everything. They want us to give up everything. They want us to give up what we eat, how we get about. Having a car means you are free to go where you will, whenever you want. And, gosh, we can't have that. We cannot have that. America's fractured right now. The only demographic group I look out there and see growing with the best people are gun owners. That's the only demographic group. And it's becoming more and more diverse as we speak. And everybody's welcome. As long as you don't plan on causing any sort of, I don't know, as long as you don't plan on attacking America, you're welcome. But this is one of their little side hustles they got going on right now, this global climate change side hustle, to take us to a position where we are consuming ourselves, where everything goes sideways really rapidly. That's really, truly what they want. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Federal Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. I am congested. You want to know something that is stunning to consider when we sit here and we're wondering why things aren't happening, why things aren't changing, why we're always fighting for gun rights, First Amendment rights, all these other things. In Mexico, Brazil, and Slovakia, there is a higher percentage of eligible voters that show up to the polls than in the United States. And there's some reasons for that. Here we have two parties that in reality constitute a uniparty duopoly that bend over backwards to cater to their respective pet voting blocks. Racial minorities and ID'd victims for Democrats and evangelicals and I don't know who else for Republicans, for example. But these demographics pale in comparison to the volume of non-voters. So the 2020 presidential election was a banner year for participatory democracy. It turned out a record number of voters, most of them presumably legal eligible ones, right? But that only amounted to 62% of the electorate. And that's the best it gets participation-wise in the U.S. The 2022 midterms produced about a 47% turnout. When I was a kid, when HBO came out, I could watch George Carlin get on TV and say curse words on TV. So I found him fascinating. And he did a whole hilarious bit in which he blamed the slovenly public for producing terrible politicians, citing the ignorant American population as the reason electoral politics is pointless. Some percentage of the non-voting population is certainly apathetic or disinterested in politics. And they deserve a share of the blame for the sorry state of affairs, for sure. And then there's the ones that the virtue signalers. One of the things that... Here's the first thing you have to understand about the American public. The American public, if we're in a car, they don't want us to lurch hard right, 90 degrees right. They don't. We should. We need to. But they don't. They don't understand what that would mean. They have been so indoctrinated by the media that they're like the poor Japanese people during World War II who thought we were going to consume them, and instead of being captured by the American troops, they just assumed throw themselves off of the cliffs. In Florida right now, there's a contingent of people in the as they're approaching, as they're coming up on the permitless carry bill that they have it before them, excuse me, that will not go for the bill if it does not include open carry. Now, open carry is certainly something that a lot of states do, and they have no issues with it whatsoever. However, in a state where you're trying to move the chains in another direction, and you're on a drive, you're not going to throw a Hail Mary pass every time and connect in the end zone. You're just not going to do it. So they should get what they can get right now and then come back and get some more later. But there's some people out there that can't do that. And there's some contingent of the population that will always be checked out or participatory politics because they simply can't be bothered to engage in civic pursuits. But a minimum of 38% on the best years of the entire eligible voting public each election cycle? Are they all useless, ignorant slobs who don't appreciate the precious, hard-earned right to self-government? Or is there something more intrinsic to the U.S. political system that dissuades them? The majority of non-voters are independents who do not identify with either party. Most have no higher than a high school education and make less than $40,000 a year. In other words, they're the people who don't belong to the permanent D.C. political class, and they don't see their interests represented there. Less than 30% of us here in the United States now approve of the American two-party system. Lots of non-voters, like I heard this on NPR, they don't feel like voting matters at all. They said, I feel like my voice doesn't matter. People who suck are still in office, so it doesn't make a difference. Can the political system be reformed to counteract this widespread perception that the participation is pointless? Now, there are some potential remedies, but you got to understand a few things about this within the remedies. Getting out there and proposing them and getting out there and actually pushing them, pushing them, pushing them until you get to where you want to be. This is what a Second Amendment advocate does every day. Every day. Alan Gottlieb doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take any days off. Nobody that is a 2A advocate takes a day off. And you got to understand that sometimes you can't really be loyal to anybody. That none of these people deserve your adulation. We have to figure out a way to make the two, if it's going to be a two-party system, then it has to be two separate parties, not a uniparty. And term limits, we are fast approaching the time where that's got to be something we got to consider. The McCarthy refuseniks actually pushed for a vote on that issue as a precondition to elect the new House Speaker. They have to spotlight the corruption. If politicians are going to wear $1,000 suits, and they also got to wear patches on their suits showing where they're getting their money from. Transparency. Most of these documents that you see that are classified, they're actually classified so you don't know what the government's doing, not because there's some vital national security at risk here, you know? Declassify all the documents currently hidden from the public that do not have a legitimate national security justification to remain classified, as determined by some truly independent panel empowered to make such judgment calls. And by the government's own admission, 90% of these documents would not adversely affect our security if they were released. Their status as classified does not serve national security. It serves the deep state's dirty secrets hidden from those of us who pay for their dirty deeds to be performed in our name. Yeah, going back to JFK, he expressed the essence of that wild notion. Now, some of you are going to say reform is a pipe dream. And it may be. But that is the peaceful way to reform government. Barring the peaceful way to reform government, then you have to look at the swamp and you have to figure out really, truly how to drain the swamp, how to really drain the swamp and start over. Which sounds, that's almost, how should I put it? That's almost way oversimplifying it when you say it that way, because there's a lot of moving parts to that. There's a lot of people that will never go voluntarily. But at the same time, they don't really control that much stuff. That's the biggest thing you got to understand. When you talk about the FBI and all these other things, they don't really control that much stuff. They go out and they can do little pinpoint things here and there. But they're not this massive force to reckon with. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is speaking out against House Republicans looking to oust her from a key committee.
Take your votes or not, I am here to stay and I am here to be a voice against harms around the world and advocate for a better world.
Representative Nicole Militakis, Republican from New York, says Omar's words about the 9/11 attacks were unacceptable.
To try to diminish the worst terrorist attack on United States soil on September 11, 2001, as some people did something, That is unacceptable.
All comments coming from the House floor today. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it would be an economic disaster if the U.S. were to default on its debt. Meantime, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy won't pass an increase without spending reform. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. You know, one of the biggest problems we see in society today is when we put people in certain positions in life, in certain jobs, whether it's the military, law enforcement, we have decided, you know, with the way we've run these institutions into the ground, nobody wants to join them now. Nobody wants to be a cop. Very few people want to volunteer for military service. So what are they doing? They're lowering the standard. Then they lower the standard, and then something like what happened in Memphis happens, and everybody's like, what happened? Two of the five police officers charged in the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols were hired by the Memphis PD after they relaxed their hiring requirements. Tadarius Bean and Demetrius Haley both joined the MPD in August 2020, after education qualifications to become an officer were dramatically lower 2 years prior. They nixed the required associate's degree or 54 college credit hours for recruits in 2018 due to a lack of applicants. These two guys joined the Memphis PD at the height of the Summer of Love. During the BLM, during the Antifa, during the COVID lockdowns. These guys joined the Memphis PD. Retired NYPD Detective Mike Alcazar told the New York Post, they're desperate. They want police officers. They're not going through it. They check off some boxes saying, okay, they're good enough. Get them on. The Memphis PD paid a $15,000 signing bonus in both 2021 and 2022, and waivers for applicants who had been convicted of felonies were approved. Even this did not prevent the force from being down 500 officers on January 1st, 2022. Now, back in September 2020, a month after Bean and Haley were hired, former Deputy Director of MPD Mike Ryle told the Memphis Commercial Appeal that the rise of violent crime in the city could be attributed to the police department's understaffing and lack of manpower. But Like I said, Bean and Haley were hired during the summer of the George Floyd riots, a global protest movement organized by Black Lives Matter in response to the death of Floyd in Minneapolis police custody. And those protests spread to more than 2,000 cities across America, causing more than $1 billion in property damage and killing at least 25 people. Which indicates one thing to me. It's not about local police departments. It's about the want and need to break things. Because just like you and I on any given day, where a rampage killing must occur and they want to come after us and our guns, we didn't do anything that day. Most police departments didn't do anything like that that day of the George Floyd death. And part of their movement, which still continues to this day in some form or fashion, was to defund the police, which significantly damaged police morale. According to a June 2021 survey by the police executive research firm, the rate of retirement at police departments rose 45% in 2020 compared to the previous year, with a 20% increase in resignations. The hiring rate also dropped by 5%. So, you know, simply put, police officers were quitting at unprecedented rates across the country to escape this, what turned into a really hostile work environment. And departments were struggling to meet minimum staffing requirements, which coincided with a massive crime wave across the United States. So, the executive director, Chuck Wexler, told NPR, "So at that very moment, you're hoping you can put police out there to deal with crime. You're seeing the workforce shrinking with an unprecedented number of retirements and resignations." Now, while a shortage of recruits is no excuse to relax hiring standards for cops, it is a product of the disastrous dynamics the Black Lives Matter movement and the leftist elites have cultivated. I mean, even now, I saw a TikTok of a female, a Caucasian female, who got on TikTok and said that what happened to Tyre Nichols is our fault. It's white people's fault. White people's fault. There's a lot of power and a lot of money if you can stoke fears of racism and hatred. That's why they call them race pimps, race baiters, hate baiters. And the only thing that really is sacrificed here is our personal safety, of all Americans, especially Black Americans like Tyre Nichols. You know, in an environment where police officers were allowed, and listen, let me explain something to you about being a police officer, this is just my supposition. I've never been a police officer. This is the way I view them in my interactions with them. And yes, I exist in the lens of an old white guy. But I also know that if I get out there and I start acting the fool, they're going to reciprocate, except they're going to do it with numbers. There's going to be four or five of them on me. I have had instances where I've been completely in the wrong with law enforcement, and because of my total cooperation, some of the things I've done, I mean, quite honestly, I'm surprised I don't have a record, you know? But that's because I have cooperated with them. And in doing so, it allowed the system to work. And since I wasn't actually a criminal, I was just somebody who had messed up, I was able to get out of that. But that would not have happened if I'd been out there and they were having to tase me and all these other things to get me to just sit down and talk to them for a minute. And at this moment, what we have to do is we have to let these cops implicated in Nichols' death be charged to the fullest extent of the law. We have to bypass the whole thing about the racial component. This is not a racial component. You know, you and me, we can sit out there, us Caucasians, we can sit there and go, well, it was black on black, wasn't it? So we don't got nothing to do with it. No, there's something happening in the undercurrent that while we didn't have anything to do with it, we do need to pay attention to it because we live here too. But it is very important to remember why officers of this quality that participated in that incident were hired to these positions in the first place. Being understaffed and not being able to meet a hiring quota is no excuse to relax. I think one time in one of the Police Academy movies, they actually did that in the Police Academy movie, which was, it was done for the comedic effect. I mean, they let Bobcat Goldthwait be one of the cops on Police Academy. After he'd been a leader of the biker gang in the previous movie. So, I don't know. I sit here and I look at these things and I... What happened to Tyre Nichols should not have happened. But we need to find out what happened exactly in that chain of events. What made it escalate to this point? Why was this such a physical beatdown? Why was this apprehension so important that we had to absolutely just, you know, go to war on this young man? And what we also are going to have to address, the cops are going to have the courage and the fortitude to where when they see one of their brother officers doing the wrong thing, you guys need to look at that as you saving your department and your partner from themselves. There's nothing to be gained by letting that happen. You've already got enough bad players out there that hurt your reputation. You should not contribute to it by simply watching something happen silently. My thoughts. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. For the purpose of this, we're just going to go by their terminology, okay? AR-15s, AK-47s, semi-automatic weapons that are fed by a enclosed box magazine, I regard these as personal defense weapons. That's what I regard them. If we want to put them in a classification, that's my classification. That's the Department of Homeland Security's classification as well. So, quote, assault weapon ban, or assault weapon, end quote, ban proponents say that those types of bans would actually save lives. A recent opinion column published in the Chicago Sun-Times claims that the risk of dying in a mass shooting was 70% lower during the 1994-2004 federal weapons assault ban. Of course, that is fed by some false information. It was published, though, while the Illinois State Legislature, which is primarily made of a bunch of guys who just read the headlines and don't really parse into it, was debating a statewide assault weapons ban, which passed a few weeks ago, which has been pushed back now by the courts. Study on which a claim was based is flawed and its conclusions were unreliable. Yet, because it was published and it's out there and it says exactly what they wanted to say, the Giffords Law Center, the Every Town for Gun Safety, the Sandy Hook Promise, all of those organizations continue to use the study as they push for more assault weapons bans like the one in Illinois that has been pushed back by the courts. Legislators, media reports, and opinion writers have cited the study, and the column published in the Chicago Sun-Times appeared in several media outlets. And it was produced by Charles DiMaggio, no relation to Joe, lead author Michael Klein, the opinion column's author, and several other medical professionals. And it examined data from three open-source mass shooting databases. They identified 44 mass shootings from 1981 through 2017 in which four or more fatalities were reported, not including the shooter, resulting in 501 fatalities. It determined that 34 of those shootings were committed with so-called assault weapons, which accounted for 430, 86% of the fatalities. It found that mass shooting deaths decreased during the years the federal ban was in effect. It claimed they had a federal ban, had it been in effect for the entire period from 1981 through 2017, it might have prevented 314 of the 448 mass shooting deaths that occurred during the non-ban years. This is indeed using the same thing, the same mechanism by which they will say, if there were no guns, we'd have less suicide. If there were no, quote, assault weapon, end quote, then there would be 314 fewer deaths. Now, measuring the effect of that ban when it was in force, you've got to distinguish mass shootings with assault weapons from mass shootings with non-banned weapons like handguns. And the point of an assault weapons ban was to reduce mass shootings with the banned firearm. There was a problem with this, though, because while they're out there talking about how good it was, there was no consistent legal definition of assault weapon. So one has to look at how each law banning this firearm defines them. The 1994 federal ban included specific firearms by name and any semi-automatic firearm capable of accepting a detachable magazine and having two or more features such as a folding or telescoping stock, pistol grip, barrel shroud, flash hider, or threaded barrel. All of them that were out there at the time, though, were allowed to remain in circulation. They just banned the new manufacture of them. It's like the Hughes Amendment. Nothing passed this date in 1994. Now, to identify whether a mass shooting occurred with an assault weapon, the DiMaggio study's authors made no attempt at all to determine whether the weapons used actually met the 1994 ban definition of assault weapon. Instead, they simply searched the database text for AK, AR, MCX, assault, and semi-automatic. Which I don't even know if MCX, that's a SIG thing. I don't even know if they existed at that time. Mr. Klein claimed in his column that the authors chose to use the strict federal definition of assault weapon, but this methodology refutes that statement. And all assault weapons are semi-automatic, but not all semi-automatics are assault weapons. But they all have one thing in common. They fire one round for each pull of the trigger. It did not apply to all semi-automatic firearms, as the study's authors assumed, but only those with detachable magazines and two or more of the specified features. I don't know why I just don't go out there and buy a Ruger Mini 14, to be honest with you. I really don't. I really don't. I probably should do that. The vast majority of semi-automatic handguns do not have the additional features required by the federal ban. Now, if you use semi-automatic as a search identifier, that vastly overstates the number of mass shootings committed with so-called assault weapons. Their data set of the 34 incidents shows that in at least 20, which is almost 60% of the shootings, non-banned semi-automatic handguns, 9mm, 45, other popular calibers, were wrongly identified as an assault weapon. This obviously skewed the results. Common semi-automatic handguns should never be confused with, quote, assault weapon, end quote. No federal or state assault weapons ban has ever included such handguns, maybe just the magazines. Maybe the study's authors were confused about what constitutes an assault weapon, because it's a term. It's not actually a class of weapons. It's a term. From the Violence Policy Center, we got this. Assault weapons, just like armor-piercing bullets, machine guns, and plastic firearms, are a new topic. The weapon's menacing looks, coupled with the public's confusion over fully automatic machine gun versus semi-automatic assault weapons, anything that looks like a machine gun is assumed to be a machine gun, can only increase the chance of public support for restrictions on these weapons. That misidentification error was pointed out in a public letter to the guys that put this together by University of Massachusetts Professor Louis Clarivas, excuse me, a well-known academic expert on mass shootings and author of Rampage Nation, Securing America from Mass Shootings. And after reviewing their data set, he challenged it. And they responded, "We make no claim to have retroactively determined whether these guns would have been illegal under the original statutory language." But that's what their study's about how it was under the statutory language. So while they sit there and ignore the need for fidelity to what the statute actually banned, they claim that assault weapon definitions don't really matter, but only the main message of the study, which is that fewer people died in mass shooting incidents during the ban period. Well, let's take a look at that. In the preceding decade, they showed 25 mass shootings resulting in 156 fatalities. And this is prior to September 24th, 1994, when this ban went into effect. Assault weapons, as they, whatever those are, were used in six of those shootings with 36 fatalities. During the ban, 33 mass shootings up resulted in 173 total fatalities up. Assault weapons were used in seven shootings with 42 fatalities. In the post-ban decade, 46 mass shootings have resulted in 328 fatalities. and assault weapons were used in 8 shootings with 70 fatalities. So, there were more mass shootings in the decade during the federal ban than there were the decade before the ban. And mass shootings did not go up with, quote, assault weapons once the ban expired. Such shootings increased from 6 to 7 to 8. And that is just that's simply the continuation of an existing trend. Mass shootings and fatalities did increase in the decade following the federal ban's expiration, but that increase is mostly from incidents involving non-assault weapons, which means this is when the gang activity was firing up. Pre-ban, 19 mass shootings. During the ban, 26 such shootings. Post-ban, 38 non-assault weapon shootings resulted in 258 fatalities. The suggestion from this evidence, by the way, is that banning assault weapons does not affect mass shootings. So bans aren't the answer. Nobody wants guns in the hands of a mass murderer, but the perception that the problem is the gun rather than the shooter obscures the complexity surrounding the actual cause of mass shootings and diverts policymakers from an effective prevention measure. Indeed, right now the media out there getting out there saying, well, the AR-15 is the weapon of choice among rampage killers in the United States. Where do you think these guys get that idea from, mass media? Fake stream media? Where do you think that comes from? The search for an answer is not going to be advanced by studying apples and then making some claims about some oranges, though. It's just not. There's more to it than just the tool. So, are they misleading you? Do they just don't know? I think it's probably a combination of both. But a lot of ignorance involved. Coming up next, Paloma Capana, attorney at law. This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.